The last time that Dan and I saw Senator Joe Markley, the Republican from the 16th District, was when we did our live broadcast from the Capitol. Senator, good morning, good morning.
Senator, are you there?
Are you there, Senator?
Here I am, Brad,
there
yeah.
There
where were you, hiding from us?
I didn't think so, but certainly there was nothing. I was afraid I lost you for a moment. But we never lose each other.
And, Brad, of course, Senator Markley is in the Touchpoints Rehab Interview Chair. And, Senator, I'll tell you what, this 39-year-old state law mandating the purchase of art, public art for public buildings that are under construction, give us a little background on it.
Yeah, 39 years ago, a law was passed that said 1% of state expenditure on any major new construction or major rehabilitation would have to be spent on public artwork connected with a building. And it's been in place, and it's generated, I guess what I'd call abstract and decorative works of art at a lot of the universities, at some schools built by the state, at the airport, at places like that. You know, I don't want to necessarily argue about whether it's all a good idea or a bad idea. To my mind, it's not the most effective use of money for the arts. I'd rather see money like that used to keep music teachers in our public schools, frankly. But my point is it's costing us nearly $1 million a year. And given the situation we're in the state and the things we're looking at cutting, I just don't think we can afford it right now.
I'm with you. You know, we were talking earlier about it, and Dan was talking about, you know, Dan's in Torrington. He was talking about a building that's being completed there. What is it, a courthouse,
well,
Dan?
Well, let's do the math, Senator, because this is the new Litchfield County Courthouse, which cost taxpayers $125 million. So, in other words, $1.2 million of that would go towards the purchase of public art?
That is exactly right. Although, interestingly, and I've been trying, since I have been involved in this issue, I've been trying to get to the bottom of it, it doesn't seem like they ever get the full 1%. And I'm not sure if some of that money is getting funneled off into some organization or some administrative function. Likewise, if we're talking about the XL Center, if they did that $250 million, which I hope they don't, presumably that would mean $2.5 million would have to be spent on public artworks.
Can you imagine?
Wow. I mean, this is...
How did this ever pass in the first place, Senator?
Well,
I mean,
Brad, it passed when we had a lot of money. It's like a lot of things, right? And, you know, one of the points I made, I testified at the hearing a couple of days ago, and I said we shouldn't keep doing out of inertia things that we would never do if we were starting over again. If I walked into the legislature today, if we had no such program, and I said, let's start spending 1% on the arts, $1 million a year on construction of these things, I'd be laughed out of the place. But the idea of saying, let's do away with a program, you know, there's an old saying that the closest thing to immortality is a government program. Once a program like this is in place, it's hard to get rid of.
Well, I mean, that's the problem, Senator, and why there is this disconnect between the citizenry and our elected officials, at least some of them, and that is we are in a situation where we can no longer afford this, and yet we're told by our quote-unquote leaders the budget has already been cut to the bone. But I'm sorry, when you talk about a program like this, the budget hasn't been cut to the bone.
And that's exactly right. There is still, to call that low-hanging fruit, I think that's fruit that's already lying on the ground, to tell you the truth.
Yes.
Well,
I'll
tell you.
It's the easiest thing, and I really hope, I think the members of the Government Administration and Elections Committee, where the bill is, kind of perked up when I was talking about it, and I really hope that under the current circumstances there's a chance that this will go forward.
You know, Senator Markley, when I first heard about it, when Dan and I were first talking about it, I said to myself, how many programs are there in the state where we have the same situation, different product, but same situation that would save us millions of dollars if they were cut?
Yeah, I think that's true. And one of the problems is we get a budget. If people saw the budget process, I think they'd be distressed by it. I believe legislators really do their best at it. But we get a big budget that's like a phone book. And really, all that anyone looks at is what the governor has changed from this year, from last year to this year. To go into it and go through it line by line, and the lines themselves Some of the lines are little tiny numbers. Some of them are enormous numbers, and you don't really know what these lines represent. There's a few people that have tremendous expertise on the budget. I'll tell you, my friend Len Susio has a real talent. He has a good finance background, and he can find things in it. Melissa Gibran, who's the ranking member on appropriations, there's some very talented folks. But for the average legislator, even doing your very best, you feel like there's no way to get your mind around it.
You know,
this is something.
Yeah, it really is. And you know what's disconcerting, Senator, is, and I've had her on one of my other programs in the past, the Department of Economic and Community Development Commissioner Catherine Smith. She comes from the private sector. I have a great amount of respect for her. But I think yesterday at a hearing, we learned that you can't even follow the money where a lot of these state agencies get. You can't follow if the money actually is spent on its intended purpose. And, in fact, DECD was called out on it by the state auditors.
That's exactly right. And this is one of the reasons, you know, I made a lonely vote against that Sikorsky deal. And one of the reasons is that there were all these assurances in it about all the business that Sikorsky was going to do in state. But it was obvious that there was no way that the state was actually going to be able to find out whether Sikorsky complied or not. We don't really know how any of these companies do at complying. When we say we're going to give you a certain amount of money and you're going to hire a certain number of employees even, it's very hard to track this. And, of course, if you want to do it right, it means that much more state bureaucracy and that much more interference in the private sector.
Don't you think, Senator Markley, that these ideas, I have said many times, this is what we need to do. With these, they seem like little things, but you put them all together and they add up to millions and millions of dollars that could be saved.
That's exactly right. Are you, hey, Brad, you might remember there was a congressman named Les Aspin.
You've got
a column.
Absolutely. Yes.
And he, every week in the National Enquirer,
yep,
which my mother read and I used to take a peek at, Les Aspin had an article about some piece of government waste. And even when I was a kid, I thought, if I were ever in Congress, that's what I'd try to do, just find the waste and bring attention to it. And that's what I was trying to do with this 1%.
Maybe this is something that the state can do with a group. I don't know if we could ever get it together, but to go through this, and that would be one way that Connecticut could survive in the long run.
Well, I'll tell you, a group that does about as good a job of it as anyone is Yankee Institute.
That's right.
I know you've talked to those
folks. Oh, we've been over there, absolutely.
Yeah, but they're on private money. They're doing a great service to the state by pointing out some of the ways that we're wasting money and some of the ways that we can restore our economy here. And I think that their profile is getting higher and higher, and I hope people listen to them.
Well, you know, of course, Senator, what happens is we mentioned this program needs to be cut, and I'm sure there are those out there who are going to say this proposal to end this 39-year-old state law. Well, then you're hurting those who produce public art. They obviously get paid to do this. They put money into the economy, and it's just going to hurt the economy. You get that explanation all the time, except if we keep doing this kind of stuff to help the economy is going to go broke in Connecticut.
Well, if it's just a matter of the government pumping money out, you could just go hand it out on the street, and it would be just as effective. That's not the way it works. We're taking this money out of the taxpayers' pocket and giving it to somebody else. If we want to help the economy, leave it in the pocket of the people that earn it.
Absolutely.
Let them spend it. The only program I don't want to cut is the Talk of Connecticut.
Thank you. Thank you, Senator. Boy, I'll tell you, there's some out there that would like it.
But hey, I wonder with the two of you, I got my two friends on at once now instead of one at a time.
There you go. Senator, I mean, another thing that's driving the discussion is this raising of the gun permit fees is proposed by the governor.
Unreal.
Licenses, permit fees, it's outlandish.
We're going to do a press conference on that this morning at 11 o'clock. And it is, you know, the governor already doubled those fees. And now he wants to raise them another four times.
Well, you know, Senator, this is also, we found out, that many gun owners, this is when they have to register again. And guess what? $300 to register. And they want, I cannot believe what they're charging these gun owners. I can't believe it.
Well, but you know, the governor wants to be the hero of the radical left. And one way to do it is to constantly pick a fight with law-abiding gun owners. And I don't think he believes this is going to pass. I don't think it's going to pass, to tell you the truth. But I think that he can beat his chest and say, look what a hero I am, because I'm going after those bad people that enjoy owning firearms.
Boy,
except
I tell you, this drives me crazy.
That's right. Nobody says, though, Senator, and we learned again the other day, 99% of the guns used committed in Hartford, the crimes committed in Hartford, 99% of those guns are obtained illegally.
Of course, there's nobody with an illegal gun is going to be paying this fee. That's exactly right. And legal gun owners are law-abiding people, and that is not the problem in this society.
But do you think...
And the governor knows it as well as I do.
Do you think, though, we have a chance to knock this bill out?
I think the fee will probably be beat. I think the Republicans are going to be unanimously against it or close to, and I think there's enough rational Democrats, and Democrats that have had support of gun owners in the past, that I don't see how they can do this. And it's so obviously a matter of just picking somebody out and deciding it to stick it to them. It's funny that in the same budget, there's a provision to say, over the next year, we're going to look at all our fees, and then a year from now, we might raise some of them a maximum of 50%.
Uh-huh.
But we're going to go ahead and quadruple this one right now.
Unreal.
Senator,
unreal.
Thank you as always.
Hey, my pleasure. Good to talk to you.
You bet.